Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 18 June, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, today was day 3 at Vacation Bible School, and it's too bad that all of you can't be here and see how wonderful and fantastic Vacation Bible School has been this year. Day 3 is over. We started out another great day at VBS with French toast sticks for breakfast. We had a total of 30 children, 21 non-Upland, 9 Upland. Cliff joined his grandson Charlie and really enjoyed being here with him. All the children were focused and listening. When Karina gave the gospel using the wordless book and also using the great chasm illustration, it is great to see God the Holy Spirit at work with these children. They sang songs and they love ending with the song, "We're Going on a Bear Hunt." Now, I'm in my office studying while that song is going on, and these children are running around screaming, and it's a riot. It gets me going. Sherry and Daria taught the lessons about David and Goliath. Both classes went very well. Daria ended her lesson by reading the passage of David's last words at the beginning of 2 Samuel 23. Then the children made slingshots to go out and get Goliath, made slingshots for their craft and started coloring in a coloring book all about David. And then they ended with water balloons. And they loved that. Thank you all for your prayers. They are greatly appreciated. 2 more days of Vacation Bible School tomorrow and Friday. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's start with the corrected translation at verses 11 and 12. For behold, what this very thing, this according to the will of God, soul pain and sorrow has produced in you. It produced biblical repentance. What diligence, even what vindication of yourself, defense, even indignation toward your own bad decisions to live in the cosmic system, even fear, humility, respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the communicator of the Word of God, even an intense longing and desire for Bible doctrine, even tremendous zeal to live the spiritual life, even avenging of wrongs. In everything, you have demonstrated yourself to be blameless in the matter. So, verse 12, so although I wrote to you, it was not because of the one doing the wrong, nor because of the one having been wronged, but in order that your zeal on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he taught with tough virtue love. Now last night in our class, you saw the role model. We have a role model for teaching with tough virtue love. You know who that role model is? You should if you were here last night. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Matthew 23. Now that was tough virtue love teaching. He was teaching the religious leaders of his day. And he taught them with tough virtue love. So sometimes that's exactly how the communicator of the Word of God must teach. In Corinth, you had a world record of bad decisions. The believers in Corinth were in every category of reversionism. And so the Apostle Paul, in that first epistle, 1 Corinthians, he had to teach with tough virtue love, pointing out their arrogance, their reversionism. And many of the believers there were under maximum divine discipline, and many of them were dying from that discipline. And that broke the Apostle Paul's heart. And he didn't want to see them crash and burn. So he taught them with tough virtue love. Just like Jesus Christ was teaching the religious leaders in Matthew 23 with tough virtue love. So I have a role model. So I don't like to teach that way. Every once in a while, that's how a pastor must teach, with tough virtue love. But I have a role model, Jesus Christ. He's my role model. And he taught me how that should be done the right way in Matthew 23. And the Apostle Paul taught me in the first epistle of Corinthians. So now, in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 13 through 16, the Corinthians' positive response to Paul and his teaching has been a great encouragement to him. And that's in verses 13 to 16. In verse 13, we exegeted, and it sounds like this. On account of this, verses 11 and 12, their biblical repentance, that they rebounded, got back in fellowship with God, turned back to God, turned back to the Word of God. On account of this biblical repentance on your part, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. So the Apostle Paul had to be very tough with the believers in Corinth when he wrote 1 Corinthians. As a spiritually mature believer, Paul loved the Corinthians with tough virtue love. He loved them with impersonal love for all. But Paul wasn't sure if he even had a ministry in Corinth anymore after he taught 1 Corinthians. So, one, Paul sent his troubleshooter. His troubleshooter was Pastor Titus. Pastor Titus. Titus had the gift of pastor teacher, and the Apostle Paul, that was his troubleshooter. So Paul sent Titus to Corinth to check out the situation there and see if he even had a ministry in Corinth anymore. Two, Titus was very apprehensive about this mission, but he was pleasantly surprised at the Corinthian believers' response to Paul's tough love and tough love teaching of grace and truth. So point two, Titus was very apprehensive about this mission going up to Corinth, but he was pleasantly surprised at the Corinthian believers' response. They responded to Paul's tough love teaching of grace and truth. They rebounded. They got back into fellowship with God. And then they turned back to God and the Word of God. They knew that the Apostle Paul, everything he taught was right. They knew that they were wrong. And they have now, they're living the spiritual life. They're growing up in the grace and truth taught by the Apostle Paul. So, point three, the Corinthians' positive response to Paul and his letter, 1 Corinthians, had been a great encouragement to him. The Corinthian believers' positive response to the Apostle Paul and his letter of 1 Corinthians had been a great encouragement to him. Four, added to this was Titus' elation at the reception that he received from the believers in Corinth. Added to this was Titus' elation at the reception, positive reception that he received when he got to Corinth. Five, the positive volition and the humility of the believers in Corinth provided great spiritual refreshment in the soul of Pastor Titus. The positive volition and humility of the believers in Corinth provided great spiritual refreshment in Pastor Teacher Titus' soul. Again, verse 13. On account of this, their biblical repentance, verses 11 and 12, rebound, turning back to God and His Word, we have been encouraged, and in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Well, that brings us to, what does the Bible have to say about refreshment? What does the Bible have to say about refreshment? Point one, definition. Now, most of you, when you think of refreshment, you think of a lemonade, glass of cool water, a donut. But that's not how refreshment's used in the Word of God. So point one in definition, subpoint one, while refreshment oftentimes in our society connotes having food and drink, and you're talking about your body, that's the opposite of the Bible. The Bible connotes refreshment in your soul. So while oftentimes in our society, refreshment refers to your body and food and drink, in the Bible, refreshment refers to your soul. There's nothing like refreshment in your soul. Two, God refreshes the soul of the believer through His Word. His Word. As you learn the Word of God, as you respond to it and you believe it, and the Word of God goes into your soul, that Word of God refreshes your soul. That is absolute truth. Now, as you get more and more of the Word of God in your soul, you grow up in grace orientation. And that provides phenomenal refreshment in your soul. God's plan is a plan of grace. Salvation is by grace. Spirituality is by grace. God has established at the moment of your salvation, at the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment you come to the cross and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, justification by faith. This establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing, 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 blessing. God's plan for you is that God wants to bless you. And these blessings that He gives to you refreshes your soul. It starts out right at the beginning. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God sends 40 spiritual blessings down instantly, from justice on one end to imputed righteousness in you on the other end. 40 salvation blessings. Now, you don't know that initially at the moment of faith in Christ, but then you find a sound Bible teaching church, start assembling and learning what the Word of God says, and then you begin to learn all of these fantastic blessings that God gave to you right at the moment of salvation. Then, right after that, God sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. And that means He provides you with food and drink, and He provides you with a job, and He provides you with security. And why does He provide that? To keep you alive so that you can make good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life. Good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you do that and attain spiritual maturity, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. James 4:6, greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards given to the believer who has attained spiritual maturity. And those crowns and rewards and greater grace blessings, they glorify God forever and ever and ever. Now this is, when you have these, God sets up this grace pipeline to provide refreshment for your soul. These great blessings, 40 salvation blessings, logistical grace blessing and support, greater grace blessings, provide the greatest refreshment for your soul. So God refreshes the soul of the believer through His Word. Three, refreshment means to provide stimulation and blessing for the soul. Blessing for the soul of an individual. So refreshment means to provide stimulation and blessing. Blessing for the soul of an individual. When you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, when you attain spiritual maturity, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ, the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. And there's no greater refreshment than self-contained happiness. Sharing the happiness of God at all times, moment by moment, day by day, 24/7, sharing the happiness of God. That's refreshment. No matter what's going on in your life, whether you're in prosperity or adversity, whether you are in suffering, whether you're in good health or bad health, whatever the situation, whatever's going on in America, whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on at your job, you have self-contained happiness 24/7. You share the happiness of God 24/7, and that means refreshment in your soul no matter what is going on in your life. That's how great our God is. That's how great the living and true God is. He has set up a plan to bless you. He has set up a plan of grace, blessings, and refreshment to give you soul refreshment no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world. That's God's fantastic grace system of refreshment. Four, the pastor's soul is refreshed by the positive volition and humility of the congregation responding to the teaching of grace and truth. There's nothing that refreshes a pastor more than to see a congregation of believers with positive volition, humility, who love the Word of God. They assemble consistently and faithfully to learn what God has to say to them this day. And that for the pastor, that is a great, great refreshment in the soul of the pastor. So the pastor's soul is refreshed by the positive volition and humility of the congregation responding to the teaching of grace and truth. Five, spiritual refreshment is the result of blessing by association with other spiritually mature believers. Spiritual refreshment is the result of blessing by association with other spiritually mature believers. Just being around other spiritually mature believers provides great refreshment in your soul. And when you become a spiritually mature believer, the people associated with you will have refreshment just being around you. Six, it also means to supply what is necessary for spiritual blessing in times of adversity or suffering or disaster. It also means to supply what is necessary for spiritual blessing in times of adversity or suffering or disaster. Seven, your life should be a source of blessing to others. Your life should be a source of blessing to others as you are refreshed from growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. God has given us all a mandate. It's not an option. The mandate is grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So your life should be a source of blessing to others as you are refreshed from living the spiritual life, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and attaining spiritual maturity. 8, you have the basis through virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. We have saw this in great detail in 1 John, in our Thursday night class. We finished 1 John. That John taught that over and over and over again. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that virtue love is made up of three categories. First of all, personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And the third part of virtue love is occupation with Jesus Christ. You love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. And he's there at home in your heart, moment by moment, day by day. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is plus H. Sharing the happiness of God 24/7 at all times. And that's Philippians 4:4. God wants us to share the happiness of God at all times. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you will share the happiness of God at all times. All times. And that means refreshment in your soul. So point 8. You have the basis through virtue love brought to completion in your heart to communicate warmth and friendship and encouragement to others. Once you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you communicate warmth and friendship and encouragement to others. And we have many people in this congregation that have that virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. And I see it at the Vacation Bible School. It's absolutely phenomenal. They express this warmth, this friendship, this encouragement to these children and the parents bring them. It's absolutely wonderful. It's fantastic. It's exactly how God set it up to be done. It's right on. And this church is right on in that regard. And that's fantastic. 9, refreshment is a relaxed mental attitude. Refreshment includes forgiveness of others. That's a part of impersonal love for all mankind. Forgiving others as Jesus Christ forgave you. You forgive others. That's a part of refreshment. And being a blessing by association to others. Sometimes refreshment, it connotes a temporary solution. It's just an interlude. An interlude, a temporary solution of refreshment. And we're going to see that in the Bible. We're going to see that with regard to King Saul was in reversionism, and the Lord had rejected King Saul, and the Lord was going to establish a new king, a young man named David, and he would be the new king. Saul was tortured in his soul, and David came and played a stringed instrument. Your Bible might say a harp. They didn't have harps. But it was a stringed instrument, and he would play a stringed instrument, and temporarily Saul had refreshment in his soul. We'll see that. So sometimes refreshment connotes temporary solution. However, 11, the Word of God in the heart is a permanent solution and refreshment for the soul. However, the Word of God in the heart is a permanent solution and refreshment of the soul. So that's point one, definition. All right, point two, the refreshment and alleviation of Saul's psychosis was a temporary solution or an interlude of refreshment. The King Saul, refreshment and the alleviation of Saul's psychosis was a temporary solution or interlude of refreshment. All right, let's take a look at this. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. Now at this time, Saul is the king of Israel. But in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, the Lord, and the word Lord is the holiest word for God in the Old Testament, the Tetragrammaton. This word was so holy that the Orthodox Jews, they wouldn't even pronounce it. If you actually pronounced it, you would pronounce it Yahweh. They never pronounced it. It was too holy. So they would look at the Tetragrammaton and then they would read Adonai. Because this was the greatest and most the greatest name for God in the Old Testament. This is what we have here when it says the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel." Saul is in reversionism. The Lord has rejected him as king over Israel. So then the Lord says to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." So subpoint one of this point two, refreshment and alleviation of Saul's psychosis, is Saul is in reversionism. Saul is in reversionism, and the Lord has rejected him as king. So Saul is in reversionism, and the Lord has rejected him as king. 1 Samuel 16, 1. Now, subpoint two. The Lord has chosen David to be the next king. Why? Because his heart was full of the Word of God. David loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved the Lord from the Word of God in his heart. That was David. So look over at 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. This is one of the sons of Jesse. He saw Eliab and thought, surely, don't call me surely, you know how they go. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. Eliab was tall, dark, and handsome. And Samuel saw him and says, yeah, that's got to be the one, the next king. See, that would never happen with me. For one, I'm not handsome. And not tall and not dark. I'm platinum blonde. Turned from brown hair to platinum blonde here. So he, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The heart. And there wasn't a heart full of the Word of God in Eliab's heart. There wasn't a heart full of the Word of God in Saul's heart. But there's a heart full of the Word of God in David's heart. So, look down at verse 11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. And then the Lord, and there's the tetragrammaton again, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So the Lord chose David to be the next king because, why? Because his heart was full of the Word of God. 3. The phrase, the evil spirit from the Lord, that's, we'll look at that in a minute, in verse 14 and verse 23. The phrase, the evil spirit from the Lord, refers to God's permissive control of history. God's permissive control of history. God permitted Satan to have a demon torment Saul in his reversionism. That's verses 14 and 23. So look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit, a demon from the Lord permitted this in his permissive, permitted him through, his permitted Satan to have sent a demon, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Now look over at verse 23. Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his stringed instrument, not a harp, but a stringed instrument, and play. And then refreshment would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So the phrase, the evil spirit from the Lord, refers to God's permissive control of history. God permitted Satan to have a demon torment Saul in his reversionism. 1 Samuel 16:14 and 23. Subpoint 4. So David played a stringed instrument to refresh Saul's soul. David, by the way, was an excellent musician, and he wrote most of the Psalms were written by David as the human author. And what are the Psalms? Music to be sung. These are hymns. These are songs. He was a genius in playing instruments and writing songs. And most of the Psalms were written by King David. So David's musical therapy refreshed Saul's soul and calmed his psychosis. 5. In other words, Saul was blessed by association with spiritually mature believer David. Saul was blessed by association with spiritually mature believer David. But the sad thing is, Saul had no capacity to appreciate David or the great Bible doctrine in the soul of David. 6. So refreshment is used for Saul's soul recovery and blessing. Refreshment is used for Saul's soul recovery and blessing. But, point 7, in this case, it was a temporary refreshment. It was not a permanent refreshment. It was just a temporary refreshment. It did not solve Saul's problem. Saul's problem was reversionism. How do you recover from reversionism? Well, biblical repentance. You get back into fellowship with God. You acknowledge your sins to God. Get back into fellowship with God. You change your thinking. You turn back to God and back to the Word of God. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You get maximum out of the Word of God in your heart. That's how. But Saul did not do that. So in the case of Saul, this was simply a temporary refreshment. It did not solve the problem of his reversionism. Point 3. Response to the teaching of the Word of God results in refreshment. Response to the teaching of the Word of God results in refreshment. This is also in the Old Testament. Turn over to Proverbs 25, verse 13. Proverbs 25, 13. Now, I don't know if most of you, if you grew up or not, area where there is, let's say, wheat fields, harvesting the wheat. I went to Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, and the Palouse Hills all around there, the greatest wheat fields in the entire world are grown right there in eastern Washington, southeastern Washington. And when it comes time for harvest, it's hot. It's hot in harvest. And you're out there with the combine and it's going around. They even invented. They had to invent because it was, you go out in the Midwest, the wheat fields, it's flat. It's flat. They had combines, but those combines they had in the Midwest would never work up in Pullman, Washington, with the rolling hills. So they invented combines that could go around a hill, one side and the other side, and really cool, except it's not cool in harvest, it's hot. So that's what we have here. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest. That means in a very hot day. Well, we kind of understand hot days in the desert. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, a hot day, is a faithful messenger, a faithful communicator of the Word of God, i.e. today, a faithful pastor to those who send for him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. So, subpoint one, refreshment that comes to believers comes through the one who is faithful in teaching the God-breathed scriptures. Refreshment that comes to believers comes through the one who is faithful to teach the God-breathed scriptures. Two, response to the Word of God through positive volition and humility results in refreshment. Refreshment not only for the congregation, but also refreshment for the pastor. And that's our verse, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. On account of this, verses 11 and 12, your biblical repentance, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. So response to the Word of God through positive volition and humility results in refreshment not only to the congregation but also to the pastor. Three, the personality of the communicator is not the issue. The personality of the communicator is not the issue, but the refreshing message he brings is the issue. The grace and truth of the Word of God. The grace and truth of the Word of God, that is refreshing message. So the personality of the communicator is not the issue, but the refreshing message that he brings from is the issue. The refreshing message of the grace and truth of the Word of God. Four, the point of total refreshment is when you grow up to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to grow up to maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That is the point of total refreshment. Refreshment. Total soul refreshment. Five. The spiritually mature believer is then a refreshment to those associated with him. The spiritually mature believer is then a refreshment to those associated with him. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. The Apostle Paul is the human author of Romans. And we're studying Romans on Sunday morning. Romans 15, look at verse 30. Start at verse 30. I urge you, brothers, fellow members of the royal family of God, fellow believers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, virtue love, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray for the communicator. Pray for the pastor. In this case, pray for the Apostle Paul. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. He was being persecuted. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with happiness and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace, that is the God of prosperity and blessing, be with you all. Amen. All right, point four. Point four. All spiritually mature believers have a ministry of refreshment as a part of their blessing by association. All spiritually mature believers have a ministry of refreshment as a part of their blessing by association. Wherever the spiritually mature believer goes, whatever he's doing, those people who are associated with him, they are blessed by association with him, because that spiritually mature believer has a ministry of refreshment. It is great for those people. They just know there's something different about you. There's something different about you. No matter where you're at, you're going to a restaurant and getting something to eat, whatever you're doing, going to a baseball game, whatever you're doing, going to a hockey game, well, you're not going to go to a hockey game now, but wherever you go, people notice you have visible impact on everyone around you. And Deb and I have seen that and over and over and over again. And we have certain restaurants that we really, they're our restaurants we love to go to. And the people there, well, we've gone there enough times now that one of the young men who was a bus boy, and he says, can I ask you a question? I said, well, sure. He says, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I'm a pastor of a church. Oh, that explains it. That explains it. You are always so happy when you come in here. I mean, we have a lot of people come in here and they're PO'd about this and PO'd about that and upset with this and why did you change your menu and this and that and the other thing. And you always come in and you're always happy. You and your wife are always happy. I said, well, we're Christians. We're Christians. We have a personal relationship with the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him. He went to the cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins once and for all. We believed in him for eternal life, eternal salvation. And then as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you just take your happiness that he gives you with you everywhere you go. And he says, well, it's obvious. Everybody in here talks about it. You and your wife are different than anybody who comes into this restaurant. You're always happy. And I said, well, that's the one who gets the glory there is the living and true God. That's the one who gets the glory. So all spiritually mature believers have a ministry of refreshment as a part of their blessing by association. All right, turn over to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians 16, verses 17 and 18 lists three men who were loyal friends and a source of blessing and refreshment to the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 16:17-18. 1 Corinthians 16:17, "And I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part," the Corinthians, "for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men." So, 1 Corinthians 16:17-18 lists three men who were loyal friends and a source of blessing and refreshment to Paul. Secondly, Philemon. Philemon, turn over to Philemon. Right after 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, then Philemon. Philemon, verse 7. Philemon had been a refreshment to other believers in the past, and now Paul asked Philemon to be a refreshment to him. Philemon, verse 7, "For I have come to have much happiness and comfort in your virtue love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother, fellow believer." And then over in verse 20, "Yes, brother, yes, fellow believer, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." So Philemon had been a refreshment to other believers in the past, and now Paul asked Philemon to be a refreshment to him. Philemon, verses 7 and 20. 3, Onesiphorus. If there's a, you're looking for a name to name that next baby boy? Here you go. You can call him Oni. Onesiphorus refreshed Paul. He was one of Paul's greatest friends. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. "The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me," Apostle Paul, "and was not ashamed of my chains." Paul is now in prison. He is awaiting his execution. So Onesiphorus refreshed Paul. He was one of Paul's greatest friends. And then point five, the rejection of refreshment means national discipline. The rejection of refreshment means national discipline. Turn over to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Now, Isaiah was one of the great, great Bible teachers in the Old Testament. And yet, there were people in the northern kingdom, they made fun of Isaiah. They made fun of the way he taught. And it's presented here. They made fun of him. The way Isaiah teaches us, what do you think we are? You think we're children? He teaches us like we're children. He repeats and repeats and repeats. And you know, I've listened to some of you. Pastor Olson repeats a lot, repeats all the time. I was down in Baraka Church in Houston, Texas, and had dinner with May Walker. Fantastic lady. And she was a spiritually mature believer, a prayer warrior who prayed for the colonel. And she said, "You know, there are people in Baraka who are complaining because the colonel is repeating and repeating and repeating. She says, that's what he's supposed to do. He's not teaching us so we remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never forget it. That's the way you teach. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Well, that's what Isaiah was doing. Isaiah was teaching by repetition. And they made fun of Isaiah. Oh, what do you think we are? He thinks we're children? He thinks that we're little kids? He just repeats, 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 repeats. Well, they wound up, they didn't listen to Isaiah. They had no refreshment. If they had listened to him, they would have had refreshment. Instead, here come the Assyrians and administered the fifth cycle of national discipline, and they were gone. Maximum national discipline. That's Isaiah 28. Verse 8 starts out, all the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. What is that? Well, they're drunkards. They're in alcoholic arrogance, drinking, 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 till they throw up all over the tables. It's a nation of reversionists, drunkards, and they're make fun of the one of the great Bible teachers of all time, Isaiah, because he repeated a lot. Repeated again and again. All the tables are covered with vomit because they're in reversionism, alcoholic reversionism, drunkards. And then they say, who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children? Does he think we're children? Weaned from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? He's teaching us like we're little kids. Repeating all the time. And then they make fun of him. He says, do and do, do and do. Rule and rule, rule and rule. A little here, a little there. Well, that's the way the Word of God should be taught. That's the way the Word of God should be taught. Exactly that way. Do and do, do and do is precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Rule and on rule, rule on rule. Line, that's line upon line, line upon line. That's how Isaiah was teaching. That's how I teach. That's the way the colonel taught. That's the way the Word of God is supposed to be taught. Repetition, repetition, repetition. But I hear some of you talking about, oh, Pastor Olson repeats a lot. Well, you know what? You're no different than those idiots at Baraka who said the colonel repeats too much. Or Isaiah in his day telling him that he repeats too much. What do you think we are, children? No, he doesn't think that at all. He's teaching the Word of God exactly how it's supposed to be taught. So they're making fun of Isaiah. This great, great Bible teacher, they're making fun of him. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people. Who are the foreign lips and strange tongues? God will bring the Assyrians down and administer the fifth cycle of national discipline. And they're gone because they're arrogant. Think they know more than Isaiah does. Think they know more than the greatest Bible teacher I've known since I've been alive was Colonel Thame. He was the greatest Bible teacher in the world at that time. The colonel. And that's how he taught. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Again and again. And May Walker nailed it. She said, I hear these people saying that. But the colonel is teaching us not so we remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never forget it. So at the end in verse 14, therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers. Scoffers, arrogant ones. They have not listened. They have no refreshment. You see, verse 12, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of refreshment. The place of refreshment is in sound, exegetical Bible teaching, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little here and a little there. Consistent, faithful teaching and perception of Bible doctrine. That's where refreshment comes from. Exactly the way Isaiah was teaching it. And they made fun of him. Laughed at him. Who does he think we are? Children? We'll go somewhere where the pastor doesn't repeat all the time. Well then go! Get your patootie up and get out and get going. And stay gone. Okay. Amen, brother. We're just getting warmed up, but I think we'll stop here. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.